Canaanite at this another ancient well of living water. This well also involves that woman that we looked at last evening by the name of Hagar and her son Ishmael. Now let me begin tonight to say a word again to any theologians that we might have amongst us tonight. I am fully aware that Ishmael represents the flesh. I am fully aware that Hagar represents the law. I am fully aware that God never ever meant for the law or the flesh to be the means of salvation. The law will not save, and the flesh cannot save. And I know full well that over in Galatians 4, Paul speaks of Hagar and Ishmael. Over in Galatians 4, Paul reveals unto us they're an allegory, a story that points to another truth. I'm aware that, as I said, Hagar points to the law. I'm aware that Ishmael points to the flesh. But I'm not looking tonight at the allegorical aspect of this chapter. I'm not looking tonight at the types that you and I might find in this chapter. But I want to look tonight at this actual event of Hagar and Ishmael drawing from this well of God's provision. Now, I will also say this, though, while we're right here. Ishmael was 14, probably, when Isaac was born. And in chapter 17, a year after Isaac's born, when Ishmael's growing up here, in chapter 17, Ishmael is circumcised. But I'll tell you tonight, it doesn't matter what you do to the flesh. You can circumcise the flesh, or you can baptize the flesh, or you can get the flesh to join the church. None of that will change the flesh. Ishmael looked like a pretty good fella until Isaac came along. The flesh always looks good held up against the flesh. But when the flesh is held up against the Spirit, oh my, we see the true, true flesh. We see the true, true, true self. But tonight, even this old flesh needs water. Even this old flesh needs to draw from some wells in order to survive. And I pray tonight from Genesis 21, we might learn how you and I might draw and what you and I can get from the well of God's provision if we'll just do what Hagar did and draw from that ancient well of living water. Now, I remind you, as we begin tonight, I remind you of some of those things we mentioned last night. Hagar has gone now into Abraham because Sarah came up with that bright idea, she thought, for Abraham to go into Hagar and to produce her a child. Okay, that wasn't good sense, much less spiritual sense, much less godly sense, but... through that little plan, we come to all the strife and the contention that we find here in these chapters concerning Sarah and Hagar. And after Abraham goes into Hagar, Hagar conceives. And with that conception, there is another conception. There Hagar begins to despise Sarah. And as Hagar grows in body over that course of those 9 months there, as she got larger, the hatred and the bitterness in Sarah's heart got larger. And we look last night from chapter 16, things got so bad that Hagar had to flee. Hagar chose to make an exit. Hagar chose to run. But oh my, she's back now. But here in chapter 21, she's not having to flee. She is being forced out. She is being cast out. She is being rejected. Because you see, 14 years later, Sarah does become pregnant. God always, listen tonight, God always makes good on His promises. God always keeps His Word. You can always count on God and the Word of God. So it was bad enough that Sarah had to all the time look at Ishmael running in and out of the tent. Now she's got a boy. Now Isaac has come into the scene. And by the way, back over there in chapter 16, she said, "Now Abraham, you go into my maid Hagar, and through Hagar, I'll have a child. I'll have a son." But right here tonight in chapter 21 that we read, she won't even say Hagar's name. She says, "That bond woman." Back in chapter 16, she said, "Through her, I'll have a child." But here in chapter 21, it's not her child. No, it's that woman's. It's that woman's child. She won't even mention Hagar's name. She won't even mention Ishmael's name. So Hagar is forced out. Hagar is put out. She's cast out. Abraham sends her and Ishmael out with some bread and a bottle of water. But oh my, she was cast out by Abraham, but she was not cast off by God. Amen. She was put out by Abraham, but she wasn't put off by God. Oh, no, no, no. Sent out into the wilderness with very, very little, but God knew exactly where she was, and guess what? He had a well. He had an ancient well of living water waiting on her. Amen. Oh, my. She wonders. She's forced out, and she begins to wonder. But she doesn't wander so far, God loses sight of her. She loses her way. Why? She doesn't know whether she's going north or south or east or west. She's lost her way, but God has not lost her. Oh my, she gives up. She gives up. But God did not give up on her. And when she needed it the most, she came to an ancient well of living water. She came to the well of provision. Say, why do you call it, preacher, the well of provision? Because of three simple things tonight that God provided for her here at this place. Number one, He provided a word. He provided a word. She's lost. She's lost her way. She's lost her water. She's lost her will to live. But God provides her with a word. With a word. Oh my. Now listen. She's out here in the wilderness. She's not waiting on a word. She's waiting on death. Notice what we read there. What we read there in verse 16. She went and sat her down over against him a good way off. Said, "Let me not see the death of the child." Oh. You see, that well of promise that we talked about last night. That well of promise that she got the drawing out of 13, 14, 15, 16 years earlier. It's got clogged up now. It's got clogged up now. And she's not looking for a word. She's not waiting on a word. But hallelujah, the God of glory and the God of grace gives her and provides a word. You say, what kind of word was it, preacher? It was a personal word. What aileth thee, Hagar? What aileth thee, Hagar? Oh my, the God of heaven called her by name. Here she is. She turned her back on that boy over there. She's awaiting on him to die so she can die. She wants him to die so she can die. There she is a crying. There she is a moaning, crying out to God. And the next thing she knows, God says, what aileth thee, Hagar? What aileth thee, Hagar? Oh my, she forgot what it was like to hear His voice. But as soon as she heard His voice, oh my, I guarantee you, hope swelled up with winter. As soon as He said, Hagar, she realized He hadn't forgot about me. He hadn't cast me off. He has not lost sight of me. Oh my, when she needed a word, God provided a word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the times in my life. Oh my, I wasn't looking for it. Hey, I wasn't even praying for it. No, I was too confused. I was too depressed. I was too beat down. I was too dehydrated to be looking for a word. But God in grace said, Scott, what aileth thee? What aileth thee? And all hope would rise up one more time. I'm talking about an ancient well, a living water, where God would provide a word and a word for you. A word for you and your life and your situation. Oh man. She got a word. She got a word. A personal word. Oh man, he knew. As soon as she said, Hagar, he didn't have to preach a sermon. They didn't have to sing 30 verses of Just As I Am. As soon as he said, Hagar, oh my, she realized he does know where I'm at. He's known all along. He hadn't forgotten about me. She got a word, a personal word. But hey, it's not just a personal word he provided. It was a promising word. A promising word. Oh my, look here what he says. He says, fear not. Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Oh my, a promising word. You know what he's a saying to her? He's a saying, Hagar. Hagar, what's ailing you? Hagar, what's the matter with you? Hagar, why are you sitting over here drying up, dying of thirst, Hagar? There's a well of promise. I done showed you before. There's an ancient well of living water. Hagar, you ought to be drinking out of. You ought to be drawing from. Hagar, what ails you? Hagar, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I got a well. I got a well. I got a well you can draw from. Amen. She said, I will. He said, I will make a nation out of that boy. He said, I ain't got what I told you. Hey, John, I've not forgotten what I promised. I've not forgotten what I said I was going to do for that boy. It was a promising word. Oh, my. I'll tell you, that's good news. That's good news. In fact, you know what? You know what the writer of Proverbs said? The writer of Proverbs said this, get this. As cold waters to thirsty soul, hallelujah, so is good news from a far country.
Amen.
So it's good news from a far country, from heaven. From heaven that day, God said, Hagar, Hagar, it's going to be all right. I'm going to keep my word unto you. Oh my, I'm saying, at the well of provision, she got a word, a personal word, a powerful word, a promising word. Now he says something here. He says, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand. That's back to that drawing. She's at the well, but she needs to draw. That's back to that obedience that we looked at last night. He said, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand. Hold him in your hand, Hagar. Why in the world did God tell her to hold him in her hand? I tell you why, bless God. God had her in his hand. God had her in his hand. If she's got him in her hand, and if she's in his hand, guess what? He has her and him in his hand. Oh my, thank God tonight. Thank God tonight. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in God. And oh my, when I need a word, I'm not God. We'll provide a word. Oh my, this well of provision. She got a word. She got a word. Oh my, it would mean life. It would mean survival. It would mean strength. It would mean survival and refreshment. She needed a word, and she got one. She got one. But oh my, here not only do we find her getting a word, not only does God provide a word, but God provides a well. God provides a well. I'll tell you, that's a mighty good provision. That's a mighty, mighty good provision when you've been cast out. It's a mighty good provision to get a well when you've been caught dry and caught empty. Her water bottle was spent. Her water bottle was spent. I'll tell you, it's mighty good to have the provisions of a well. When your child is hurting, when your child is sick, when your child is in your pain, and when your child is hurting, I'm glad, hallelujah, God can provide, and God can give a well when you and I need it, when you and I need it the most. Oh, my, I'm talking about the well of provision. God provided a word, and God provided a well. He opened up her eyes. And she saw that well. Now, wait a minute. She'd been sitting there a while. She'd been sitting near the well for a good little while. But she hadn't seen it. God had to open her eyes to it. Why is that? I tell you why. I think the tears of her life had blinded her eyes. And she couldn't see that provision that was right there. The tears of her life. The tears of her paganism. Remember it says she's Hagar the Egyptian.
Yeah.
See, she still got some of that old thought pattern in her mind. And paganism says, whether it's Egyptian paganism, or Baptist paganism. Paganism said, you got to try. You got to try. You got to do. You got to try. You got to do. You got to try. Instead of trusting God, instead of believing God, instead of continuing to draw out of that well of promise that God had already given her earlier. Oh my, she quit trying. Rather, she quit trusting and quit to trying to try this and that. And the blindness of paganism kept her from seeing a well that was right nearby.
Yeah.
How about the blindness of pain? The blindness of pain. I mean, her boy's hurting. Her boy's going to die. In fact, best I can tell, Ishmael Ishmael is about 16 or 17 years old. I ain't talking about somebody taking a baby out and putting a baby in a dumpster. Ishmael is a lad of a boy. 16, 17. How old you boys? You how old? 16. Stand up. Stand up. I mean, we ain't talking about a 6 day old. We ain't talking about a 6 week old. We ain't talking about a 6 month old. We ain't talking about a 6 year old. We ain't talking about a 16 year old boy. Thank you, son. That she has had to take and test and place up under a shred. That word cast doesn't mean that she just cast him down and let fall where it may. No. No, you know what she's trying to do? She's trying to get him up under a shrub and fix the shrub so the sun wouldn't bake him and the sun wouldn't have, but he is hurting and he has died and he was as good as dead. Now I'll tell you, sometimes painful things in our lives. Painful things in our life. Sometimes painful physical things in our life will get us so twisted and so discouraged and so defeated that we can be in the presence of a well of water and not see it, and not see it, and not see it. I mean the tears of pain. The tears of pain. But how about the tears of the past? How about the tears of the past? Oh my. The way Sarah had explained it. The way Sarah had explained it. She sure was going to be doing a favor for her and Abraham. That's how I said that's the picture. That's the picture Sarah put upon it. But oh my. The past turned sour. The past turned sour. Oh my, we looked at last night how Sarah treated her harshly and abused her and began to hate her. What about Abraham and all this? Abraham could have stepped up and Abraham could have said, "No, Sarah, you treat her better than that." I mean, she was a lowly slave, but she's been brought. She's just not a maid in her eyes now. She's the mother. She's the mother. She may not have been his first love, but she gave him a boy when nobody else could give him a boy. And for all those 13 years, the only little patter of feet running around the tent, the only little joy Abraham and Sarah had was a boy by the name of Ishmael. And it was because she had, oh my, provided her body. Oh my, but now she's been cast out. She's been rejected. She's been pushed out. I'll tell you, you can get pushed out of a lot of things. You can get pushed out of a marriage. You can get pushed out of a church. A lot of preachers get pushed out of churches. A lot of people get pushed out of churches. And oh Lord, you get dry. And oh Lord, you get thirsty. You think, Oh, all them promises are empty. Oh, they've forgotten about me. But I'll tell you, it's just not the tears of past concerning Abraham and Sarah. She's a feeling like now. She's a feeling like God has forgotten her. That was the greatest hurt, no doubt, of all. That God had seemingly forgotten about her. I'm saying there she was by a well of water. But she couldn't see it. Her past and her pain was so blinding to her that, oh my, she couldn't see the well of water. But oh my, hallelujah, I'm glad God in grace and God in mercy opened up her eyes and provided a well when she needed a well. Hey, I'll tell you now, you may have come in here tonight and you may be dry and your past, you may feel like your past is a dog in you like a pack. Oh my, you may feel like God has forgotten about you. You may feel like the church has forgotten about you. But there's a God in heaven tonight that has not forgotten about you. And He can provide you with a well, an ancient well of living water. Oh my, oh my. I'm talking about the well of provision. She got a word. She got a word. She got a word. She got a well. She got a well. She got a well. Oh my. But you see, just like a lot of you, just like a lot of you, you've forgotten about the promises of God. See, she was near a well of provision. She still had a well of promise. But that well had gotten stopped up. That well needed to be dug again. That well needed to be cleaned out again. She needed to clean out that well of promise again. But oh my, God in grace came by. And God in grace provided. God in grace provided water. God in grace provided a well for her. Oh my, my, my. Oh my tonight. If you're here tonight, if God and grace don't open up your eyes, I'm very mindful. I'm very mindful I can't. I'm very mindful my little old outline. I'm very mindful my little old sermon can't open up your eyes. But hallelujah, I'm glad God. I'm glad God. I'm glad God desires to open up the eyes, to open up the blinded eyes of those that are lost, that they might be saved. But of those that are saved, that they might draw again and come in the ancient well of living water. I'm talking about some provisions. I'm talking about some provisions. She got a word. She got a well. She got a well. And I want you to notice. Oh, don't miss this. I want you to notice what she does. Don't you notice what she does? God opened her eyes there in verse 20. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled up the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Look here tonight. That 16-year-old boy over there under the bush was as good as dead. He would have died had she not drawn water, filled up her bottle, and ran back over there and got him back up in her arms and gave him a drink. Had she not drawn from that ancient well of living water, her boy would have died. Now, while you sit around here, being lazy, not digging any wells, not cleaning out any wells, not digging again, not digging anew, while you sit around here pining over the past, and pining over the pain, and I'm not dismissing pain. Pain's real. Pain's hard. Pain hurts. Pain hurts. But oh my, while you sit there, somebody around you's a dying. Somebody needs you to draw. Somebody needs you to get back to the well that you might be able to take some water that somebody else might live.
Amen.
You little old boys and girls standing up here. Thank God for every one of them.
Amen.
Well, they just young children. Now, I'm not lessening the value of children, but I want to tell you, children just don't last in the heat of the day, like some adults do and some gray heads do. And you know what? If these little boys and girls are standing up here quoting Scripture and singing, I'm going to tell you, if they have a drink of water every now and then, it's going to be because somebody said, I'm going to dig. I'm going to dig. I'm going to draw. I'm going to draw. I'm going to draw. Oh, my God, heaven, God provides an ancient well of living water that we might draw, that we might give a drink of water to somebody else. Oh, my. You see, He was providing for Ishmael, at the same time He's providing for Hagar. But it was His intentions and His plan that Hagar draw and Hagar carry water to that dying, dying boy. I wonder tonight, you got any water? You can carry anybody? That lost husband you living with? That lost wife you living with? them lost grandyons, that neighbor down the street, that person you work beside of. You got any water you can carry to them? Oh my God, help us to get back to some ancient wells of living water. And what I mean is a well of provision where God can provide what we need.
Amen.
She found a word when she needed a word.
Good.
She found a well when she needed a well. I'll mention right quick another provision. There's a third provision in this chapter. He provided a warrior. A warrior. You say, under God, preacher, where's that at? That's right here in verse 20. God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelled in the wilderness, and became an archer. He became an archer. Now again, for you theologians, I've not forgotten, Ishmael is not the promised son. But he is a son. He is not the promised son, but he is a son. And God said, I'm going to bless him. And God, sure enough, was setting out to do it. And God provided Hagar with Ishmael, and God made Hagar an archer. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Hey, that's a real big deal if you're in the wilderness. That's a real big deal if you got to fight off the beasts of the field. That's a real big deal if you got to fight off the enemy and you ain't got some big fortified wall to stand behind of. You ain't got some army to surround you. That's a mighty big deal that God would provide her with an archer to provide for her and to protect her.
Amen.
That little word archer is interesting. It has the idea of one who is skilled. It comes from a root word which has the idea to excel in. To excel in. I want to tell you, God just knows how to provide what you and I need. I mean, God knows how to provide just exactly, precisely what you and I need. And when He provides, it's the best. You mark her down. When He provides, it's the best. I mean, He don't give out any seconds. No, He don't give out any calls. No. He provided her with the best. He provided her with a warrior that would stand and protect her and put meat on the table. So how was it that he excelled so? How was it that he was so skilled? It's right there in the first part of that verse. The Lord was with him.
Amen.
The Lord was with him. I don't care who you are or what you're facing tonight. If the Lord is with you, He will skill you. He will enable you to excel and to do that which God would have you to do. But I got to wondering. I got to thinking about that bow and that archery stuff. You know, back then, they didn't have these big compound bows. How many deer hunters we got tonight? Who here hunts with a bow? Well, bless God, what do y'all do over here in Colorado County? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you, these old... I'm talking about them old time things that, buddy, you've got to. No, these compound bows, boy, you pull back so far and then.
Yeah.
They got pulleys and everything. You can stay up and tree stand all day long, and I mean you. But that ain't what they had back then.
Right.
I mean, buddy, back then, you didn't pull down on something till you was ready to let go on something. How is it that God helped him? And I got to wondering, is there any other place in the Bible where God has ever helped an archer? Guess what? There is. It's about I don't know how many chapters over here in Genesis chapter 49. It speaks of Joseph. It says, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Vince is the shepherd. Joseph is a shepherd, but Ishmael's a warrior. But I figure God helped them both about the same way. Come here, young man. You ever shot a bow?
No, not really.
You know how to pull a bow?
Yeah.
Pull down on something. Pull down on something. Now listen. Oh, right there. It ain't one of them fiberglass jobs.
Yeah.
That Dick's Sporting Goods has. It ain't got all the pulleys. It ain't got all the pulleys. I mean, that's an old strong sapling. I mean, buddy, you can just hold it just a little while, especially if you're just 16 years old. But what does the verse say? What does the verse say? What does the verse say? The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord came to that little old boy. The Lord, I know he represents the flesh. I know that. But she needed a warrior. She needed an archer. And the Lord came and made his arms strong. And the Lord came and made his arrow go straight. Hallelujah. The God of heaven will provide what you need if you'll draw from the ancient well of provision. He didn't send her a shepherd. Because she didn't need a shepherd. She needed a warrior. She needed an archer. She needed an archer. She needed an archer. I tell you that, I do not know. I do not know what you need. I do not know what you need. But I can guarantee you this. God can provide whatever it is you need. God can provide whatever it is you need. And if you'll just come to the ancient well of living water tonight and draw, God will provide for you exactly what you need. And if He has... Are you listening to me? If He has to... Oh, God, how this... I love it. I love stuff that chokes Baptists. If God has to... He can bless a lost man. He can bless a wild man whose hand is against it. If God has to do it that way, He can do it that way to provide for you and to keep you safe and to give you what you need. I'm a saying tonight, there's a well of living water that if we'll just run to and draw from, God can provide what you need. If you need a word tonight, I guarantee you He's got one with your name on it. If you need water tonight, if you need a well tonight, I guarantee you He's got one. He's got one for you. If you need a warrior, He can send you a warrior. He can send you a warrior. He can send you a warrior. But too many of God's youngins are sitting around with stopped up wells and sitting within sight of wells, missing out on the living water of God's provisions. Some of you been here all right every night already. You saw some folks dig Monday night. You saw some folks draw last night. And you didn't have any idea what in the world's going on. You saw some of those folks worshiping last night. And you said, well, what are they excited about? You're just blinded. You know what, since last night, God has opened up your eyes. Now, you can do one of two things. You can sit where you're sitting and die thirst while family and friends die and go to hell. Or you can bless God, get up and run to the well and draw from the well of God's salvation, God's living water, and God's provisions, and find that which you need for your heart and your life. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.